So today we're going to use PowerPoint, and hopefully it works today. Can you click on the right side? Make sure it's OK. Is it working? All right, thanks. All right, let's take a stroll down memory lane. It's not a real memory lane, but as a kid, you have to think about what are some of the stresses and uncertainties we have. The stress I have is the yellow line. I don't know if you remember elementary school, the yellow line is a situation where when you're in recess and you get in trouble, for me, like I'm not paying attention, you stand there and you see all your friends play. It's the worst thing could ever happen. Uncertainties as a kid is when recess is over and when are my cartoons on. Remember, this is pre-internet, so you actually had to wake up to watch cartoons or else it'd be over. I have here a picture of me from K through 6. This is the first and last time you'll ever see this picture. As you can see, I kind of like went through some weird mad scientist evolution halfway. Okay, in junior high, same thing. There's these stresses and there's uncertainties, but now we have to worry about bullying, we have to worry about grades, being popular, and during junior high, those 2 years, you have the uncertainties about high school. Now in high school, you have the same uncertainties as junior high, but you add on Facebook drama, this is supposed to be current and hip, I guess, SATs, and I heard it's out of like 2,400, which is like amazing, because it was 1,600 back in the day. And you have the huge uncertainty about college. You're in high school, you're wondering, you know, what do I do next? And you may be taken out of your home, you may be going to the East Coast. Just, there's a huge uncertainty at that point. Now, when you go to college, I'm sure many would attest here, or some are going through, you have to worry about some of the same things, but now it's choosing your major, money, studying finals, future career internships, part-time job, and uncertainty of, do I go through more school, or what career do I choose? And I don't know about you, but college, I was so stressed out all the time. I remember I was in a class, and I was in studying for finals, and all I can say is, I'm going to fail. I just keep looping over and over. So I don't know if you guys ever had that experience. It's pretty terrible. Okay, so you've graduated from college. Now you have your first job. And now new stresses have come in, where you have the stresses of paying your bills, paying back student loans, work drama, and then you have uncertainty about job stability. You see here, this guy has 4 monitors, and I think he's watching YouTube on the top left, so that seems to be a pretty good job, apparently. All right. You have your first job, and now you're officially an adult. Okay, some people are groaning on that, but that's the reality of this. Now as an adult, you have a new set of stresses. You have a new one because health, because you know after 25, metabolism starts slowing down. I never thought it would be happening, but you eat the same thing and you gain weight. And you're like, what's wrong with me? It's just growing older. You have bills, you have house repairs, or maybe house payments, mortgages, property insurance. Finding a significant other, because when you're an adult, all the people who give you slack no longer will give you slack. Like, when are you getting married? You're not going to school anymore, so you're going to get so much of these stresses at every social gathering you probably go to. Or even if you go to get a haircut, like, when are you getting married? You're out of school. The parents laugh because they know it's true. And as an adult, you're more aware of threats of terrorism because we're old enough to understand it. There's global conflicts, there's wars going on, and you know, you have situations of family. As an adult, you also go through a couple things. A lot of people wonder, maybe around my age, is like, what do I want to do for the rest of my life? And it's a very unsettling question. And where do I want to settle down? I don't know about you guys, as a lot of my friends are going through these exact same things, and we're pretty much at this point. You didn't need me to put all those slides for me to tell you that life is stressful. No matter what part of life you're in, from being a kid, being junior high, high school, college, or being an adult, having a family, it's pretty stressful. Now, the thing here is stress something that just existed in our time, or has it always been around? For this, what we're going to do is we're going to examine a couple Bible verses. Today, we're going to go through NKJV. So if you can open our books to Matthew 8, 23 to 27. And it will also be displayed up for your convenience. Say amen when you're there. All right, hear that flipping. Now, when he got into a boat, his disciples followed him. And suddenly, a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. But he said to them, Why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was great calm. So the men marveled, saying, Who can this be, that even the winds and the sea obey him? It's a pretty classic story. Jesus is in the boat with his disciples. But let's kind of examine this a little bit closer. What was it like on the boat? Who here has ever been in a boat before? Yeah, okay. Oh, actually, wow, quite a few. Oh, hello. Don't want to embarrass my roommate. As on a boat, as you know, when the seas are sailing fine, it's kind of like you don't even know the boat's moving, right? But when there's a storm, verse 24, and suddenly a great tempest arose, a violent storm. Remember that windstorm from San Gabriel Valley we had here, which many of you probably didn't have power for a couple of days? Think about that type of wind hitting a boat. Now, on the boat, it's not like they have all these, it was a little more not sturdy as today, but when there's a tempest, you're like this, and then you're dropping, and then you're rising, because the waves dip and crest, right? So what's happening is the boat is being swung back and forth. It's not just like, oh, violent storm, it's like, violent storm, you know? If you look at it, the boat was covered with the waves, and this is not a modern-day boat where there's a life jacket, and disciples say, hey, life jacket, let's go on, we're fine. This is like they're kind of afraid. What's interesting is when you look at verse 25, it said, Lord, save us, we are perishing. What does this mean? This is absolute panic. If you think about it, when is the last time? This basically means, Lord, save us, we are going to die. Like, die, really, like, you know, drive off a cliff, die. This is something that you do not say that often. And the disciples here are freaking out. Think about the last time you really thought you were going to die, right? Like, maybe a car is going to hit you, like, I'm going to die. It's not a common occurrence, but at the disciples at the time, this is what they were going through. Absolute chaos, absolute panic. Now, let's look at another story, the plot against Daniel. Now, at the time, there was a King Darius, which is the king, was tricked into signing a decree that if anyone prays to anybody but him, that he would be thrown in the lion's den. A lot of people didn't like Daniel, so they tried to nail him. They're like, oh, but this, they know they could get him in trouble. So let's open our Bibles to Daniel 6, verse 10. So keep in mind, the background here is the decree he signed. And this happens right after the signing. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed, and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. The story continues. There's a lion's den. He's in. The boulder goes over. The king seals on the boulder. I mean, this is drama for you guys. I don't know. Lion's den, you ever see like those like National Geographic? That stuff is scary. I do not want to be around lions. The king goes home. He can't sleep. He's very restless. Next day happens. Daniel 6. So let's just briefly go forward. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke to Daniel. Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. my God has sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him, and also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. What we're interested in is, this story is pretty common. We know Daniel gets thrown in the lion's den. The Holy Spirit's there, and the angel shuts the mouths so they can't eat him. And apparently calmed them down because they would have clawed him too, so I'm sure they're just docile. But what's interesting is, what was his demeanor when he got out? When he got out, we have to reflect, he was pretty calm. The scripture doesn't say, Daniel panicked going out of the lion's den because he thought he was going to get mauled, but he was okay. All he said, going back, is he said, O king, live forever. He's like pretty calm, right? Think about, you go into a zoo, right? And then you get thrown into the lion's den. I leave you there overnight. Let's say I duct tape their mouth. How are you going to feel when you walk out? I'm going to be like, I need to blog about this. This is crazy. I thought I was going to die, right? I'm like panting, hyperventilating. But in here, he's pretty calm. There's no type of scriptural occurrence saying that he was freaking out. What we have to reflect on? So what happened before he got thrown in the lion's den? When he got thrown in the lion's den, let's reread Daniel 6:10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room, with his windows open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before God, as was custom since early days. Now what is the difference between these two situations? They're both pretty bad. They're both the chance of respective people dying. On the left, you have the disciples in the boat, freaking out, water splashing all over the place, they're getting rocked. The Lord of the universe is in the next room. And you have Daniel here, also in a pretty bad scenario, where he's getting thrown in the lion's den. But the left side has a lot more chaos than the right side. So what's the difference? It's prayer. So, what is prayer? Prayer is communicating our feelings to God, and it's putting our burdens and stress onto him. If you think about these two situations, there are some pretty big burdens on them. One of them, the disciples think the boat's going to topple over and they're going to die, right? Not so good. The second one is Daniel gets thrown in the lion's den. If I was getting thrown in the lion's den, I'm going to pray pretty intensely. Prayer is opportunity for the God of the universe to listen to you. Anyone here remember Miss Cleo? Okay, this might be a generational thing. So Miss Cleo, my brother of course, was a person who, she had a fake Jamaican accent and eventually went to jail. But people called her because they wanted to have someone listen to them. This kind of hokey pop psychiatrist. But what prayer does, it's better than any type of phone call you can make. It's not just a person. It's God of the universe who wants to listen to you. This is the universe here. Prayer also helps you do daily renewal. As you see in Daniel 6:10, it said that it's custom to pray 3 times a day. And what it does is, remember those slides about stress? That happens every day for me. And for me, it kind of renews me, because if you ever see me or don't pray, I'm like this decrepit monster who you don't want to talk to. And prayer is open to anybody. Now, there are different types of prayer out there. There's many, many types, but we'll just discuss about three. The first one I would call the shallow prayer. It's not a bad prayer. It's not the prayer you should be saying all the time. A shallow prayer goes like following. I am late for school. Where are my keys? God, please help me find my keys. And I don't know, like my family knows this. I lose everything all the time. God, please help me find my wallet. I'm going to the airport. God, please help me find my keys. God, please help me recover this file. I think I accidentally deleted in my hard drive. You know, it's a modern version, but it's the same thing. We ask God for assistance, but it's kind of shallow. And we don't want to do that all the time. The next is what they call the bargain prayer. All right, God, if you do this for me, I will do this for you. You know, I'm not a bargaining man, but I don't think bargaining with the God of the universe is such a good idea. The last one is what I call a heartfelt prayer. As we know, Jennifer leads prayer sessions every Wednesday. On the bulletin, it's there. You can call the number. It's at 8 o'clock. And what heartfelt prayer is God gets to know you, and you get to know God. Now, let's kind of reflect back in the story on Daniel's prayer before being thrown into the lion's den. And there's a couple things that I just want to kind of point out. In Daniel 6:10, it says, he knelt down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. Now we take for granted, the first thing for being heartfelt is he's on his knees. If you think about your day, when are you ever on your knees, right? When you're working, you're sitting on a chair, or if you're in a hip place, you might be sitting in an ab ball or whatever. But on your knees, it means that you are really being humble before the Lord. 3 times a day. We eat 3 times a day, we should at least pray 3 times a day. And prayed and gave thanks before his God. So the prayer that Daniel gave before he got thrown in the lion's den was not a shallow prayer or wasn't a bargain prayer. He didn't say, God, save me from these lions, I will spread the gospel for you. That's kind of, you know, that bargain prayer you don't want to do. Instead, it was a heartfelt prayer saying, God, I need your help. I'm on my knees. Now, how do we prepare our minds for a heartfelt prayer? There is some guidance, so let's open our Bibles to Matthew 6:6-7. So this precedes what they call the Lord's Prayer, which I think is also in Luke, but this is before that. And I'm reading in KJV. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. In here, some of the guidance, as you see, I have like vain repetitions, as the heathen do. What that kind of means is we easily get, as humans, get into routine. They had this really fascinating study, and now you maybe can do it yourself. When you know you're in a routine, people say that most people brush their teeth the same way every day. And you're like, really? So you might think, there's many combinations, right? I can brush on the top, I can brush on the bottom, I can go around. And if you start thinking about it, you might notice you brush your teeth every day. You kind of get into a routine, right? When we pray, the same thing might happen. You might pray about the same things. God, please help me and my family. God, please help my parents' dog not be so lazy. God, please help me in my career and work. And what we want to do is we want to make sure that we say something heartfelt, say something new. It's like a friend, right? You don't want to tell them the same story every day because that even that gets kind of boring. There's a lot of things in your life that you can share. In prayer preparation, some type of common day scenarios is what you want to do first is what they said here is, but you, when you go into your room, and when you have shut your door, right? Back in the day, when you are in, you shut your door, nothing could get in, right? Your room is shut, no one could get in. But now it's not like that. So the first thing you do is before you pray, turn off your phone and turn off your computer. 2 major things. Make sure your Facebook isn't blipping and like get a message before you pray. The worst thing you can do is you can pray and you get a bloop, text message. Oh, hey, you know, lunch tomorrow. Second thing is take a deep breath. clear your mind. Clear your mind, and then speak from your heart. And there's obvious situations to pray for. When there's a situation that you're in danger, like in the tempest, in the boat, or in the lion's den, you're going to pray. I'll tell you, it sounds bad. One of the times I prayed never so hard in my life is, as you guys know, I took a trip to Thailand, Cambodia a couple years back. We were in a van going through a windy mountain with no seatbelts. And I was just like, dear God, I don't want to die now. Dear God, I don't want to die now. Dear God, I don't want to die now. And it was like the scariest experience of my life. And in situations of danger, it's pretty easy. It comes out. It's like, I need protection. I need the Holy Spirit. I need your angels to help me. But there are other burdens in your heart that you might have problems telling people about that aren't in your immediate danger, but you know they're there. It's something in you kind of eating at you. And there's unimaginable stresses in your life from school or work or relationships. And no matter how small it is, God cares. But after you pray, sometimes you might wonder, is he listening to me? I've prayed something, but I don't see anything happening. Now let's open to 1 John 5:14 to 15. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. The last part is basically saying that if we know that he hears our prayers, he's heard them. Your burdens. Let's tell you a little bit about my life. I quit my job 2 years ago. 2.5 years ago, to do a startup. So my income basically went to, yay, making money, zero. I was like, oh no, what am I doing? I don't know what I'm doing. So when I went to zero, I was working, as you know, I'm doing a food startup right now. I fortunately picked up a part-time job. And my life now is kind of the following. So some of you guys might ask, you know, so what do you do, Dan? I see you cooking food on Facebook. Do you even work? I just eat food all the time. I do basically three things. One of them is I do my part-time job. It kind of feeds me. I can make money, so I can tithe also. I work at my startup, and I do food demos. And you know, some days I am so tired. And I don't know if any of you have felt like that, where just a day you've been going through so much school, you just feel exhausted. You feel drained, and you just don't want to do anything. I am constantly surrounded by stress. But as you guys know me, I am somehow okay. Despite all this madness, I am still okay. I would say one of the testaments of what really helps is, I'm going to pitch this again, Wednesday's prayer session. I know I haven't been going often, but you know, even though it's on the phone, the renewal is amazing. But before I go to bed, I do the prayer prep and let it all out. As I said, turn off Facebook. I have an addiction to Facebook, you can tell. Turn off my phone. Clear my head. On my knees and tell God all my fears and all my anxieties. And I'm sure each of you have tough situations, no matter what, that there is something that you want to say and you want someone to listen, but there is always someone listening there for you. You might ask, what should I pray for? this is just some guidance. It doesn't mean there's many things you can pray for. What people often forget is we need to pray for ourselves. That is a really major thing. A lot of people pray for all these other people, my friends, my family, my second cousin, my relatives in Vietnam, but they forget to pray for themselves. It's a very important thing in your spiritual life. also to pray for your friends and family. And importantly, to pray specifically. You don't want to pray things like this. Dear God, there's a lot of conflict in the world. Can we have world peace? Amen. So it's kind of like, okay. Or even saying something like, dear God, there's a lot of homeless people in the world. Can you give them homes? Amen. It's not that specific. What we want to do is pray for something specific so the Holy Spirit can work through you or through other people. For instance, if you want to pray for homelessness, you can say, dear God, please help give me a sign or resource to help homelessness in San Gabriel Valley. Kind of specific. Dear God, please help my relatives where they had their parents pass away and to send the Holy Spirit that somebody cares for them. Now let's open our, go to Romans 8, 26 to 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So when you pray, there are times where your mind just goes blank. You don't know what to pray for. But what Paul is saying here is if you open up your heart to the Holy Spirit, he will intercede on you, even though you don't know it. I mean, this is very amazing, right? When you talk with someone about your problems, like, hey, John, you know, I have these problems at work, and I just need some help with this drama situation where my boss is being mean and I don't like him, and John and I can talk and we can kind of work things out. But what this is saying is there are times where we may not even be vocalizing our concerns to God, but what's amazing is the Holy Spirit will intercede you and help you out. He will dig out those things in you which are eating you alive, maybe something you haven't talked about in years. Now remember, heartfelt prayer. Turn off your phone and computer. I cannot repeat that enough. Take a deep breath. Clear your mind. Speak from your heart. Most important thing to remember is when you're there and you're before the Lord, that the God of the universe is listening. He wants to get to know you. He wants to hear your problems. But he only can hear your problems if you let him. I'd like to end with Philippians 4, 6 to 7. Do not be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come here humbled today. We know that we have burdens, deep burdens, some things that we may not have ever mentioned, that are just so painful that we cannot vocalize. We know that our life today is so stressful, and there are times that we are just so tired. We just ask that you send your Holy Spirit to us, that when we pray, that you are able to help us have a better day, help us resolve our problems, and help us make a better person, make us a better person. We ask that when we pray that they are not just words that come to you, but it's the Holy Spirit that intercedes in us, that is able to help us become a better Christian and build a better relationship. We ask for each person here as a reminder that you are always there, God, and that we are never alone. That we have someone here, which is you, Lord, who is always willing to listen to us.